The heat wave story is not background noise. It's the story that physically shaped this 4th of July for tens of millions of Americans. Over 22,000 Con Edison customers in the New York City area remain without power as temperatures top 105 degrees. Philadelphia canceled its July 4th parade. More than 100 people were sickened, and the incident at the Big Boy steam locomotive train stop in Berks County, Pennsylvania, was declared a mass casualty incident, with thousands of spectators waiting in 106 degree heat to see the historic Union Pacific locomotive. The Chicago region was simultaneously getting hit with 80-mile-per-hour storm winds. The American holiday weekend is being reshaped by weather events.
Scientists from the World Weather Attribution Group have now formally assessed this heat wave and concluded it was virtually impossible without climate change, meaning the background warming from greenhouse gas accumulation is what made temperatures of this magnitude possible during this event. That kind of attribution science has become much more precise over the past decade. It used to be that scientists would say climate change loaded the dice toward extreme weather. The modeling now allows specific probability statements. This event would have been effectively impossible in the pre-industrial climate baseline.
The infrastructure stress effects are cascading in ways that the grid wasn't designed to handle simultaneously. In New Hampshire, heat knocked out transformers at a nuclear plant site. The electric grid infrastructure across the Northeast Corridor was not engineered for continuous above 100 degree temperatures during peak cooling demand periods. The irony of the nuclear plant situation is that nuclear power is central to many decarbonization plans precisely because it provides reliable baseload generation, but extreme heat creates operational challenges for plants that rely on water cooling.
The electric school bus vehicle-to-grid story is genuinely interesting as a counterpoint to the crisis narrative. During peak demand periods this week, electric school buses, which sit idle in the summer, were feeding power back to the grid through vehicle-to-grid technology. A standard electric school bus has a battery pack in the range of 120 to 220 kilowatt hours. A fleet of 100 buses can collectively discharge several megawatt hours into the grid during a demand spike. This doesn't solve the grid capacity problem, but it demonstrates how distributed battery storage embedded in the transportation fleet could become a meaningful grid resource as electrification scales.
NASA's launch to rescue the Swift telescope is the kind of space story that reminds you how much accumulated scientific infrastructure is quietly orbiting above us. SWIFT launched in 2004. It's been operating for 22 years, studying gamma-ray bursts and X-ray sources, and its data has contributed to thousands of peer-reviewed publications. The telescope is now decaying in orbit and would re-enter the atmosphere and burn up without intervention. NASA launched a robotic spacecraft to boost the observatory's orbit and extend its operational life. The technical challenge of rendezvous and orbital boosting with a 22-year-old spacecraft that wasn't designed to be serviced is significant, and the mission represents the first time NASA has attempted this kind of operational life extension for an observatory in this way.
The energy and infrastructure stories connect to the Bezos Blue Origin angle as well. Space-based solar and energy infrastructure is one of the longer-term rationales for building heavy-lift launch capacity. But the near-term infrastructure story is very much terrestrial. And the combination of record heat, aging grid infrastructure, and simultaneous demand spikes is producing a stress test that utility planners have been modeling for years, but which is now arriving on an accelerated schedule.